It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. Next Saturday, everything changes in Willets Point. Willets Point is that little tip of land just north of City Field and Flushing Meadows in Queens. You probably have ridden past it on the 7 train or driven past it on the Van Wyck, but you probably haven't spent time there unless you were looking for dirt cheap car parts or auto repair. But on November 30th, it all changes for the handful of residents and scrappy business owners who operate there. The city is planning a $3 billion plan to overhaul the area. My next guest spent some time there recently to understand the impact of this new revitalization plan. You may have seen her piece in the New York Times yesterday. She'll also talk about this unusual New York City backwater. She is New York Times reporter Sarah Maslin Neer. Sarah, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
So Willets Point is literally off the grid. Much of it is not even connected to the sewage system. Some of it is practically a dirt road in New York City, as we were discussing off the air. So for people who've never seen that strip, what is it?
It is a total jumble and jungle of auto repair shops, various different types. You can get your hot rod souped up there. You can get a lock fixed. And it is a really, as you say, off-the-grid ecosystem that's developed on its own, largely without any official sanction.
And I grew up not too far from there, and I used to walk from Flushing Main Street to go see Mets games when it was Shea Stadium. And I would think, what a decrepit, rundown place. What is all this? Old, scrapped cars, about as yucky an area as you could imagine. They should do something about this. But for the people involved in the businesses there, that kind of misses the point, doesn't it?
Well, this is truly one of the most profound examples of one man's trash is another man's treasure. Those cars that look like junk to you are money to an auto salvage yard or to a parts dealer. And they're really useful to someone who's probably doesn't have a lot of money and needs their car fixed, who drives on through looking for a quick fix.
So I want to play a clip from one of the videos that you guys produced to go along with your article yesterday. This is of Christopher Canali, a longtime resident. He's homeless, and he paid $5 a night, according to the video, to basically serve as a human watchdog. He sleeps in the unheated cars that line those streets.
This has always been a junkyard, as far as I know, all my life, and I don't want it to change. This was my block for years. All these shops are condemned now. See the signs on every one of them? They're all going to be closed. This place here seemed like an oasis in a whole city where I couldn't keep up with traffic. Out here, I could be myself. I could do what I want to do. There's a rhythm. There's a pulse. There's a whole heartbeat to this place. You got the Van Wyck behind us. And now you hear them humming. You got the 7 train coming. Sometimes it sounds like it's an earthquake, but it's only the 7 train. The last plane's going to come like 12:30. They put me to sleep and they wake me up.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. It's a line you don't expect to hear. This has always been a junkyard. As far as I know, I don't want it to change, and describing the junkyard as an oasis. But the city isn't going to not redevelop something for the comfort of a homeless guy who gets left alone there.
Sure, but it's missing the point to say that this is just a place where there's a homeless guy hanging out. There are, as advocates say, 1,700 jobs that are going to be lost. These are people who don't have papers for a large part and who really, they say, they're good with their hands and not much else. And this is a place where they can make money.
Listeners, want to weigh in on the Willets Point development? Any Willets Point residents or business owners listening today? Anybody pro or con? Anybody going to be sentimental for this strange corner of kind of third world looking New York City that's out there by Citi Field? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And is this a done deal? It's been debated for so long. Is this absolutely final? And they start to rip out this strip on November 30th?
Well, actually, November 30th is a deadline for people who want to take advantage of a supplemental rent. So if you get out by November 30th, you get a year's rent from a fund put aside by the city.
To move somewhere else.
To move. And then there's another deadline and another deadline. But yes, very soon, this will all be coming to a close.
How many businesses, or for that matter, how many residents are we talking about?
Well, actually, there's only one official resident of Willets Point. He's a gentleman named Joseph Abruzio. He's 80 years old. He lives above a coffee shop there. No one else lives there on the books. Everyone else who does stay there is homeless.
And the businesses?
The businesses, they're 220 businesses, but from a heyday of 500. So they've been moving out as they've been reading the tea leaves.
And where will they go? And where will the customers go? I mean, you know, nobody likes an auto repair strip, a body shop strip. It's not going to be the most either pristine or attractive part of town, but you got to go get your car fixed somewhere. So where are all these businesses going to go, if anywhere?
Well, that's been their main issue here, that they wanted to be relocated as a group somewhere else because they feel that they keep prices low by competition with each other and that they become a hub for people to come to. They've been scattered now, and they're finding places and having difficulty finding it. Their main problem is not really with the redevelopment. It's with them not being taken care of and not having a place for them to go.
Mike in Sayville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning. I would just like to say that basically the city completely neglected, and wrote that area off for 50 years, and now they're using the neglect and the fact that it's so decrepit to take the property from the people, and I think that's incredibly wrong.
Do you have a personal connection to it?
No, not at all. Other than the fact that, I mean, I myself was in the auto business for a long time, and I know what those people are trying to do. They're providing a service to poorer people who can't afford, you know, to pay maybe a regular shop. And, you know, they're being put out, and they really should be compensated for the fact that they were neglected 50 years, and they should go in and make the place right, not just bulldoze it and send them someplace else.
Mike, thank you very much for your call. And that is a perception that's widespread among the people here. In fact, I'll tell the listeners, you and I were talking off the air before the segment started, and I was saying that when I happened to drive through that strip last year, and actually it was by accident, I was dropping off my son in a car at Citi Field to go to a Mets game, and I was just trying to find my way back to the Grand Central, but wound up driving along that strip, which I really hadn't seen since I was a kid, and it looked like it was a dirt road. And so I was asking you, did they really never pave that over there? Has that been a dirt road in New York City over all these years? And you said it actually used to be paved, but
they just haven't repaired it. And that's what the people, what your caller said, is exactly what's being said on the ground, that there are some sort of conspiracy theories. Yes, you let this place get run down, so you could eventually say, it's run down, we got to fix it. The city obviously denies that, and it's not really founded on any fact aside from the potholes in the roads. But people feel exactly as your listener says, very, very fooled.
Robert in Rego Park. Robert, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian, I want to tell you, a couple of months ago I went over there. The dirt road you just described is a dirt road. There's no paving on it at all. The place looked like a bomb went off it. It's going to look beautiful when they renovate the whole place, but I think it's important not to steal the land from everybody, not to throw the business with it. That the city of New York should treat that with respect, dignity, and really take care of the people who they're throwing off the land.
Well, actually, the city is not throwing them off the land. They've given them large amounts of compensation. So they're not using eminent domain at this point, though it's been on the table at various times.
And you couldn't get a comment, I understand, from the Queens Development Group, which is a pairing of the related companies and Sterling Equities, Sterling Equities being the development company of the Mets owner, Fred Wilpon. What are they going to build? And how much in the way of job guarantees and affordable housing was the city able to get out of this development deal?
Well, that's troubling for the community who's there already and also the wider community of Corona and Flushing. There's going to be several phases. The first phase, a 23-acre part of, I believe, 62 acres in totality, and that's going to be a retail area and a hotel. Then a parking lot of Citi Field is going to be a mall eventually, and then by 2025, a housing component will be added. And the community was very, very frustrated that they believed they were promised a large amount of affordable housing, which Corona especially direly lacks, and it's going to be a small amount, around 875 units.
So you're telling me it takes a dozen years to build some apartments?
The city's telling you that.
875 units of affordable housing is not that many. That's what's in the plan. And I understand far fewer than the advocates expected when this plan first passed through the, is it City Council? They approved it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these units are not slated to be built until, as you say, phase two or three. And I'm wondering now, are we going to run into the same thing we saw at Atlantic Yards, where the affordable housing doesn't even come along until after the profitable part of the development, which is Barclay Center in the Brooklyn case, still no affordable housing there. But we keep being assured, even by the incoming mayor, that it will.
There are a lot of steps that have to be taken, actually, with this area. It is very, very toxic. There's been, as you say, no pavement, and there's oil seepage and different chemicals. So they first have to do all this mitigation. So there are legitimate reasons why this has to unfold the way it unfolds.
So who decides, who enforces the fact that affordable housing is supposed to be built there if the developers don't find it in their interest?
I believe the City Council. I believe it is something enforceable.
And let's take another call from Queens. How about Daniel? You're on WNYC. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Okay. What do you think?
Well, I feel a little bit conflicted. I've taken my car to Willets Point, where we actually call it Shea Stadium. We just say we're going to Shea Stadium. But over there, it gets fixed. And I always describe it to people as a third world country if a third world country was comprised of car parts. But it's never come across as, you know, somewhere dangerous or a blight on the city. You know, it is a place where people can go and get their car fixed relatively inexpensively compared to your, you know, your typical auto shop. But at the same time, I can see where the city or a developer looks at the space and see that it's being underutilized. So I think we're going to have to walk a fine line as far as making sure that the business owners down there don't get displaced or find another an alternative for them, and the developer is still to develop and make the community a little bit more 2013-ish, for lack of a better word.
And you say, Daniel, that you call it Shea Stadium. I have a friend who is no fan of Citibank, let's say, who has a T-shirt that says, "I'm still calling it Shea." Thank you very much. Waleed in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Waleed.
Yes, hello. Good morning, Brian. Long time listener, a big fan of yours and a first-time caller.
Glad you're chiming in.
I just left, Brian. I just left the junkyards there by the Shea Stadium, or Citibank now. I left there about 15, 20 minutes ago to get the passenger mirror on my Honda Civic, 1995 Honda Civic. I was in and out literally in about 15, 20 minutes. The guy fixed it for $15 cash. And my feedback is I've been taking my car, and my cousins have been taking their cars. We all live in Queens, there to the junkyards by the former Shea Stadium for like 10, 12 years, and it's convenient, it's fast, you pay cash, you don't have to go to the Honda dealership or the Toyota dealership, and, you know, it's cash, and the guys there, they're from Pakistan, Afghanistan, from Puerto Rico, from Ecuador. It's a microcosm of New York City and especially Queens, and, you know, just, you know, for me and my, you know, my friends, it's going to be an inconvenience not to have that plethora of junkyards concentrated in one area.
Well, Lee, thank you for your call. I'm glad you finally called in. Call again. And I think everything he says is true. It's all these places that are very diverse in terms of immigrant ownership. Also, a lot off the books. I don't know that the city necessarily wants to encourage that, which might be some form of tax avoidance.
Absolutely.
But where will he go to get his car fixed? Where will these guys be?
They're going to be scattered everywhere that they can find a lot. And that's hard to do when you're telling a person you're trying to rent a space from, I'm bringing in 200 junked cars. So they're having a large amount of difficulty with that. I want to point to one character in my story named Yoni Chosbani. And he grew up in the junkyard. His family owns three properties. He ran his own tire shop when he was 13. And his friend Barry Harris, they grew up as children here, and they became best friends running around these pieces of junk, as some people say. And Yoni says, to me, this is beautiful. And I think that is a really telling part of this story, that to your listeners who find this place useful, it's beautiful. To the people who make money off it, it's beautiful. To the people who this is their life and their livelihood, it's beautiful. But yet, it's blasted and it's disgusting and it's a third world country. I mean, everybody's used those words calling in. It's really a place that is, depending on what you need from it, a different story.
Something is being lost. Hopefully, something will be gained at Willets Point. We thank New York Times reporter Sarah Maslin-Neer. See her reporting and the accompanying videos on the website at the New York Times. Thank you very much.
Thank you.